Salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see.
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, well, thanks for joining us out there, folks. It's like a smorgasbord today on Facebook, isn't it? I'm not making light of it. Boy, there's a lot of places you can turn this morning and get the word or get a sermon of some kind, be part of a fellowship. And, of course, we encourage you to do that. I thank you that you've tuned in here because we're a little bit different here. We don't deny that we are, and we're going to get into some stuff today. I like to ask why. It's like Bobby Kennedy. What did Bobby Kennedy? Wasn't he famous for saying that quote? Some men look at things and ask why, and others look at things and ask why not. That's one of the things that we've tried to do here at Coach Dave Live is look at the scriptures and ask both why and why not. And ask this, really, why do I believe what I believe, and who taught me to believe that? And because they taught me to believe that, if it is the truth, then why is there a church that doesn't believe that? If there are different denominations, some believe in pre-trib, some believe in post-trib, some believe in mid-trib, some believe in no-trib, some believe in sprinkling when they're baptized, some believe in submersion, some believe in speaking in tongues, some don't believe in speaking in tongues. If there's only one truth, why are there so many different denominations and so many different things we believe? So I want to help you today. I was reminded of a song that I'm not much of a singer. I used to be able to sing until I started coaching and yell all the time and strain my vocal cords, I guess. The song goes like this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We don't see the Lord's glory and grace much anymore, folks. It's part of the problem why we're in the mess that we're in. We are so worldly, we're so heavenly conscious, and we're no earthly good, unfortunately. I'm going to take you down. Today's Palm Sunday. Let me stop. Who's going to open in prayer for us? I tell you who is. Denny Bryan's going to open in prayer for us. Denny, I'm going to put you on the spot here, brother. Why don't you come in here? And Denny's up in Iowa. And if you would, Denny, if you can hit that button. Just open us up here today, bud.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to thee in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and want to thank you for this opportunity, no matter what the enemy throws at us, that we can still gather together as a body in Christ and worship you and to praise you. We pray that everything that Dave speaks today will be ordained by the Holy Spirit, that we may all grow and to flourish and to be able to go out and to witness, be a witness of you throughout this world of sin that we see ourselves in. So thank you for this opportunity. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Denny. Listen, folks, some of you are regular listeners, viewers to the show. Some of you aren't. Our Sunday morning show is a little bit different. I'll be right up front. If you watch us during the week, we get into the stuff, man. We get into all of it. We stay on the scriptures. But we, as I said, we ask questions. Well, what does this mean? What does this mean? And if it means this, then how come we're seeing this? And I try not to do that here on Sunday because I'd be honest, maybe some of you aren't really there yet. You know, you've heard of red pilled and blue pilled. And so I don't want to dive into some of that stuff today. But there's some things today I really want to hit with. By the way, audience participation. You're allowed to jump in here and join us. And the battle is over truth. Truth. Jesus, when he stood before Pilate, Jesus said, I came to bear witness to the truth. And all those who hear my voice hear the truth. And Pilate said, what? What's truth? That's the question today. So you look at what's going on outside around us in regards to the coronavirus and the clampdown and all that stuff. And you know what the real question is? What's the truth? What's the truth? Who really do you turn on the TV, radio, internet, and know to be the truth? There's a group that says it's the end of the world, and there's a group that says, no, we're going to win. And I happen to be, we're going to win. And I believe this. It could, listen now, folks. This could be the end of America without it being the end of the world. And we'll say that again. This could be the end of America as we know it without it being the end of the world. And is there any one of us who are part of this program today who would be able to look the Lord Jesus Christ in his eyes and say, we didn't deserve it. We got exactly what we deserved, Lord. We got exactly what we deserved. And so that's what I want to focus on here this morning, because I have a pet peeve in Christianity. For those of you who don't know, I was raised Catholic. And I was a good Catholic boy. I really was, until I went away to college. And then I didn't, you know, when your parents don't take you to church and you go on your own, you have a tendency to slip away from doing it, especially if you got drunk the night before, right? And so I walked away from our Catholic faith. And when Michelle and I got married, we sort of matriculated back to church because it's, you know, it's what you do. You're getting ready to raise kids. You got to, you know, got to have them in the church. And then lo and behold, in 1988, I got radically born again. I was in church, but I wasn't born again. Okay, so you can go to church. Just because you got a garage don't make you a car. And so you can go to church and not be a Christian. I was one of those. And then I got radically born again in 1988, went through that whole transformation. And just like you, probably, I picked up the theology of the pastor that I was under. I thought he knew it all, and only his theology was not. Everybody agreed with this. Everybody did. And it took me years to realize that that's not true. Not everybody believes what he taught. Not everybody believed that. And that was kind of an eye-opening awakening to me. I thought, well, what else am I being taught that not everybody agrees with? And that's kind of the genesis of the show that we've been doing for over 4 years. And the battle's over truth. So here we are today on April 5th, and this is what they call Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. Now, I want to stop you right there a second. Jesus warned us very clearly in the scriptures. He said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees that you teach as commandments the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. Teaching as commandments the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. Think about that. Doctrines of men. What are doctrines of men? Well, doctrines of men would be doctrines of men, ideas the guys came up with. And so I began to ask myself this question. Who came up with the idea to celebrate Christmas? Where did that come from? When you do some deep digging into Christmas, you're going to find out, sorry, I hate to tell you this, that's probably not a Christian holiday. Now, celebration of Jesus' birth is good, but it probably didn't happen in December. Probably didn't. I'm not going to get into that and the materialization of Christmas. And then I think the same thing about Easter. It's a great story, but the Easter story now is about Easter bunnies and eggs. How'd that happen? Where did all that come from? How do we get from Palm Sunday to Easter eggs? And understand that our church cycles, think about this now. Think about your church cycle in your church, whatever church you go to. You have Christmas, which is the birth of Jesus. And then about 4 months later, you have Easter, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And then you cycle back around and we celebrate his birth again. And then 4 months later, we celebrate Easter again. And everybody gets dressed up and goes to church on Christmas and Easter. Because I tell you this, my opinion, if we don't understand the really what's going on, it's traditions of men. People in America who aren't even Christian celebrate Christmas. People in America who aren't even Christian celebrate Easter. Why? The traditions of men. And so I wanted to open your eyes to some things here today. I'm not against, some traditions are good. We've lost a lot of great traditions in America, a lot of great traditions in the church. But we've picked up a lot of them. Coach, be good. Be nicer. Be nicer. Be nice. So here we are on Palm Sunday. And we're looking at Rodney Howard Brown was arrested last week down in Tampa, Florida, for defying the government in holding church service when they told him not to. Now, you can go to Walmart. You can go to Lowe's. In fact, my daughter Abby went to Lowe's yesterday. She said now they're restricting it to 100 people in Lowe's. they're making all these nebulous rules that we're all supposed to follow that are not enforced across the board for everybody. And as a result of it, we lose trust in the system. I was a football coach. If I let some guys come to practice late and other guys, when they came late, they got in trouble, I'd lose my team very, very quickly. Because you can't have two systems of justice going on your football team that guys are going to rebel. We've got that in the church. We've got that in America specifically. Two sets of justice that are going forth. And it all comes back to the fact that we have gotten away from the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to share with you something today. Where do I start here, Lord? Be with me. Help me out here, Lord. Jared, let's start in. Did Jesus Christ come in peace? Because he's called the Prince of Peace. He was called the Prince of Peace. But isn't it amazing that even though he was called the Prince of Peace, there was so much turmoil around him? Everywhere he went, he was like Pigpen from Charlie Brown, that kicking up dust everywhere he went. For a guy who was about peace, well, he sure didn't walk in. Now, he's the Prince of Peace, right? Because he is the peacemaker. There's no doubt about that. But we have a misunderstanding of peace. Jesus said, wasn't Jesus, one of the disciples, somebody, in that Bible somewhere, it says, you cry peace, peace, when there is no peace. Scripture says, can two walk together lest they agree? And what happens to us, my friends, when the authorities, call them whatever you want to, government, becomes in violation of the law of God? What are Christians supposed to do at that point? So when Rodney Howard Brown was arrested for holding church service, we heard from many Christians who said he was wrong, he shouldn't have done it, yada, yada, yada. Going to put people at risk, people are going to get sick, he shouldn't have done it. But then you're going to hear those say, well, the government doesn't have any power or any authority. Well, that's not right. They have the power, but they don't have the authority to close down the church. First Amendment of the Constitution, right? Right, to peaceably assemble. They don't have So do we as Christians, would Jesus have confronted authority? Would Jesus have confronted authority? Or would he have just gone along to get along? Because that's where we, folks, that's where we are here in America today. Listen, this is gospel-centered. Stay with me. I'm going to take you down a gospel road here. This is gospel-centered. And Jared, to start this whole thing off, I want you to pull up this clip. It just says, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, folks, this is going to start out. Jared, you can play it at time and a half speed. This is Jesus Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday. Okay? I'm going to show you it's about a 7-minute clip. And I want you to, if you will, think about Jesus because we, I'm okay, you're okay. That's what we think Jesus Christ is. And we know that he's the Prince of Peace. But Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. That's what Jesus said that. I didn't say that. And people say, well, coach, he wasn't running around getting arrested and doing all that stuff. No, he wasn't because Christ's battle was with, are you hearing me? The religious authorities. Jesus was under the authority of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He wasn't under control of the Romans. He didn't want to break Roman law because the Romans had no authority over him. Jesus stood before Pilate, and Jesus said to Pilate, don't you know? Or Pilate said to Jesus, don't you know I have the power to release you or to crucify you? And Jesus said, you don't have any power over me unless it had been given to you from on high, because God is the author of all power and authority. All power and authority comes from God. And men on earth, the only power and authority we have is what God has given to us. And we ordained government so that we would be able to live peaceably. That's why we did that. But Jesus, in his time, he came to the nation of Israel. He came to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees. He didn't come to Pilate. He didn't come to those Roman leaders. He didn't have a bone to pick with those guys. It was the religious leaders that went out and brought the Roman authorities in. They went and the church crucified Jesus. The church did, not the Romans. Pilate was just being a good old politician. He's looking around. Well, people wanted, okay, Barabbas or Jesus, which do you want? So they went out. What did he do? All right, so you want him? Cool. Jesus, he washed his hands. Remember, Pilate washed his hands. I ain't got nothing to do with this one. I ain't got nothing to do with this one, right? So Jesus did not confront the Roman authorities because his battle wasn't with the Romans. And so I want you to watch this clip, and I want you to think about Jesus's triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and see if you just watch this 7-minute segment, and you tell me from Christ's own mouth if he's coming to make friends with these guys, these religious leaders. And I want you to watch the religious leaders and their reaction to the message that Jesus is bringing. Jared, I got it at one and a half time. Go ahead and play it there if you would.
Who blessed Jesus, you have saved me!
Welcome to our city! Oh,
keep us!
He raised Lazarus from the dead!
Who is this Jesus of Nazareth?
He's a prophet. A great prophet.
A prophet? On a donkey?
Jerusalem, daughter of Zion, behold thy king cometh unto thee, humble and meek.
Son of the Lord, son of David!
Master, you are the hope of Israel.
You are our prophet and our savior!
The people want to make Jesus king. The people want to make Jesus king. Go ahead. Donkey, which is a symbol of peace. Symbol of peace. He rides in on a donkey. And I want you to watch from his very first moment. Is he about, I'm okay, you're okay, we love each other, everybody here? Or has he come with a mission to bring truth? Go ahead, Jared.
You cannot buy anything in the temple for Roman money. You must trade it for our shekels. You know that.
Oh, and it's cheap.
Well, if you don't like it, I'll show you another.
Turning the house of our Lord into a marketplace. It's a shame.
Hidden market. Okay.
At the same rate as all the other stores, my friend.
It comes to 10 shekels and a half.
Take 2 instead of 1. The Lord will be grateful.
2 fine lambs. 2 fine lambs.
I did this trick to read it.
So Jared, put it on normal speed now, Jared.
The faithful city, she that was full of justice, has become a harlot.
Stop him!
Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning?
What are your multitude of sacrifices to me, says the Lord? Bring forth no more.
You have turned it into a den of thieves!
Man, he's not a prophet!
Go!
Judith.
Rabbi, my name is Zera. I'm a scribe of this holy place. And I, like my brethren, have followed your mission with great interest. We have heard good things of you and are glad But what you have done here today both shocks and surprises us. Do you wish to destroy the sacred temple?
The temple is not mere stone.
Amen.
It is the house of God. It cannot be destroyed as long as God lives here. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will make it rise again.
It took centuries to build this temple. Do you think you can rebuild it in 3 days?
You said it. But you have not understood.
Rabbi, I understand better than you think.
Okay, stop it. You can stop it right there. I want to throw this out on the table here. Is this Jesus that we see right here, who, folks, is challenging? He's challenging the authority. The authority were the Pharisees and the Sadducees and Caiaphas and all those guys. And he's standing up against them. Said, you've made this church a den of thieves. It used to be a house of prayer. Now it's a den of thieves. He's going to cleanse the temple here in a minute coming up. Now, is this, somebody help me here, man. Is this the image that we have of Jesus Christ today? With all the evil, especially with what we see with what Dr. Rodney Howard Brown did, Dr. Brown said, basically, what we all should know, the church is within us. The church is within us. It's not the building. It's not the building. But we're going to gather ourselves together because why? We have the right to be able to do it. Jesus isn't challenging the Romans here. They have no authority. He's in the church. He's in the church challenging authority within the church. Somebody come on in here.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Modern day church would say, Jesus, why are you so angry? You've got an anger problem.
be more Christ-like, they would say to him, right? Be more Christ-like. What did Jesus say in 1 John 3:8? For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil, and where is the devil most working? In Jesus' day, where was it? He said, you teach his commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. And when Jesus Christ showed up and cleansed the temple, which we'll look at that here in a second, don't make any mistake about it, folks. He was talking about the destruction of a what had become a wicked religious system. He had no bone to pick with Pilate. He had no bone to pick with other Romans. The system, the religious system. So the ones who had the authority over him, he did push back again. Somebody else, come on in.
Coach, that was 30 AD, basically. So Jesus challenged the system. He challenged the authority. He pointed out the hypocrisy. He spoke truth, but it wasn't till 40 years later that the judgment fell on it.
Fell on Jerusalem, destroyed. The temple was destroyed. He warned them, right? He said, don't miss this. He said, you tear down this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. Telling us, folks, the church is not in a building. The church is within us. He said, you tear down this temple. He used that word specifically. Tear down this temple, and I'm going to raise it back up. And what did he say to Zerah? You've heard, but you've not understood. So Jesus said to him, you don't get it, dude. You don't get it. You heard what I said, but you don't get it. And so we look at what's going on in America today. I believe that what's fallen upon us is somewhat the judgment of God upon the church of America. But we live in an America today where we think we're all under grace and mercy and we don't deserve any judgment. We think the world deserves judgment. But Jesus came And he was mad at the church folks because the church folks let it all happen. You're the salt of the earth. He said, you're the light of the world. And you let all this happen. Somebody else.
Hey, Coach. What we have to realize is as the Bible says, as much is given, much is required. And we've been blessed tremendously because we've honored him. Mm-hmm. But now when we turn our back on him, you know, that's where the problem starts.
Well, he's mad because the world's lost. He's mad because we're lost, right?
But we turned our back on him when we've honored him in the past. So that's where it starts, and the church is part of the responsibility for that.
Paul, where does judgment begin?
Well, Dave, that's what I was just going to say. It started at the house of God first. Right? He's going to clean his own house. And that's exactly what we have to do. We have to make sure we're right, our own house is right, then our block, then our city, and then our state, and our country, and so on and so forth. That's how it starts. And he did it then, and he'll do it again now.
Doing it now. In fact, there's a great separation going on, folks, which I think is really, really good. Really good. We have a piece of property last night. We broke the law, I think, last night. Had a bunch of people up around a campfire last night and see what's happened, what's going on, how it's driving us back to just a common part of being life. Actually, people hanging out with their kids, and I'm right. And so again, remember the Bible says that we should, for Hebrews 10:24, that we're to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. And let me ask you something, friends. Right now, today, with everything that's going on, is the church assembling, or is the church being separated? And who, if the church is being separated, what spirit might it be behind that thing that is separating, doesn't want the Christians to get together, doesn't want us to gather in our churches, 500 people in there, 100 people in there, gather together in prayer and unity? They don't want us doing that. You can go to Walmart. You can go to Home Depot. You can go to Kroger's. You can't go to church and gather. What? See, there's something deeply spiritual, my friends, that's going on before us. And most of us don't see.
Amen. Amen.
The devil is the author of confusion. Now, I study this stuff a lot on my own, and I can't tell. I can watch one video, and it's the end of the world, and I watch another video from two reliable sources. One, it's the end of the world, and the other guy says, "Oh no, a lot of good things." So, where did we get this whole idea? Did you ever think about this, my friends? When I was a little kid, we used to go to Mass. I used to love to go to Mass on Palm Sunday because we got to take palms home with us. We would take them and we would go and we'd hang them in our rooms. Mom would hang them up in our rooms. I don't know, some type of blessing, I suppose, in our room. And never ever really get into the significance of what Palm Sunday was really all about. Jared, somebody else come on in. Jared, while they're doing that, pull up for me, Jared.
Coach.
Pull up the very first one there, Jared. Yes.
Yeah, in the battling with the churches, I'm going to quote what the church said. I'm misrepresenting Christ. And
Say it again, Jeff.
I'm misrepresenting Christ.
Who's misrepresenting Christ? That's why I'm not following
it. The leaders of the church that want me to leave said I was misrepresenting Christ.
Okay,
bad image.
Okay, because they bought into the exact same thing that we saw with Jesus when he went into the temple. The religious leaders were the ones who were against him. Now, I'm not saying all of our religious leaders are against that. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying our religious leaders, please understand this, they have begun to follow the traditions of men. The traditions of men. And don't understand that the closing of the church by the government is a very serious thing. Very, very serious. Very serious. Somebody else. I want to read something with you here. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You think? No, I don't know. This is just a question. Do you think the closing of the churches is because they know they can't control the churches, but they can control Walmarts and grocery stores by seeing how many people can come in?
Well, not only that, the people aren't going to get in Walmart and strategize together.
They can control the church. They do control the church. The church allows government to control it.
This is a litmus test here to see whether or not the church would comply, and they did.
Folks, listen, this is important. This is important. Is the church above the government or below the government? That's the whole question we have to ask ourselves. Does the church, does it obey government? When the government says you can kill babies, does the church obey? And I think the question is, yeah, the church obeys. Oh, they object a little bit. So,
well, Dave.
So hang on a second, Chad. So therefore, when the church says, when the government says, hey, listen, we want you to stay home because of the virus, the church says, okay. And then they're going to say, hey, church, we want you to take a vaccination. The church is going to say, oh, okay. And then the church is going to say, hey, listen, we don't want you preaching on Facebook anymore. The church is going to say, okay, because why? We're obeying government. Friends, very simple question. Did Jesus obey the authorities? Go ahead, Chad.
Well, I was going to say, we need to make a distinction, at least, you know, in my mind, I don't see necessarily the pulpit as the church.
Right.
So the pulpit can make the call, okay, but then the people in the congregation say, wait a minute, no. We should be meeting. We're going to meet. We should be meeting. And he's like, well, no, you know, because see, they're controlled by finances. That's what's controlling the pulpit.
Right, right. And so, Chad, so what we see is the government, I'm sorry, the church, good-hearted men, I'm not casting aspersions at the men. They are following the traditions of man. They think that Christians are supposed to follow everything the government says, that makes us a peaceful people. Well, it does, till they start cutting off the heads of babies, till they start allowing men to marry men, till they start allowing women, lesbians to be pastors, till they start allowing homosexuals to be in the praise team. Then at some point, the church has to stand up and say, no, no. And so we look at marriage, civil marriage, and the Supreme Court legalize civil marriage. What was the response of the church? All right, it's a government. Really? So was Jesus a government? Did Jesus keep the law? Or did he disobey the law because his leaders told him he had to? It's a very important question we ask ourselves. Somebody come in.
The sick thing about it is most churches down here where I live at, we're in the church right now. We're fixing to be in church right now. We've never closed. But a month ago, there was church doors closing under just a recommendation. Wasn't no orders given, wasn't anything given, but orders came from headquarters and all these mainline denominations. That's where it came from, wicked headquarters.
So last night, yesterday, we were doing some work up on the farm. And I'm sitting around, I'm looking at the five or six people there, social distancing, of course. We weren't even close to each other. I'm looking at Mark's on the skid steer. I'm thinking, you know, Mark could flip that skid steer and have that thing roll over him. He'd be dead in a second. Carl could drop over with a heart attack. Bobby's working that stump thing. Boy, he could get that thing turned around. I could slice him up real quick, and there I am. I could have a heart. Folks, the fear of death is forever. Oh, wait a minute. I heard that, Holy Spirit. I don't fear death. I don't fear death. You better hear me. Most Christians do. Most Christians
fear death. Hey, Coach.
Hang on a second. Most people fear death. That's why the virus has got you so scared. It's got you so scared. I'm no more likely, just me now, I'm no more likely to get the virus than I am to have a heart attack, a stroke, somebody be texting and driving across the center line, smack me, have a tree fall on me at my house. They're all, when you live, there is the possibility of death. And so you better ask yourself, have you settled that with the Lord? Are you ready? I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But not I, Christ lives within me. And Jesus, when he shows up at the temple, he's already made that decision. He's challenging the authority, knowing it's probably going to cost him his life. Probably going to. But he had already made that decision. Go ahead, Jack.
Coach, go back to when Christ was 12 and Mary asked him, what the heck were you doing? We were scared to death. Where were you? He said, I was about my father's business. Mm-hmm. And he continued in that as until his last breath. So he didn't go in to object to the law. He went in to perfect it.
Yes, Lord, to stand up for it. Absolutely, right? And they marveled at this young guy, how he could be preaching like that, right? They didn't recognize, they didn't understand the Holy Spirit. Somebody was in here and I cut off before. I'm sorry.
May I make a comment, Coach?
Yes, please do.
A little bit about all this, what you're talking about from the very beginning. I know from my personal experience, you know, you're talking about all the different denominations and all that. There's only one church and there's only one body of Christ. And the reason why we're all divided is because of denominations.
Traditions.
Each one of us must surrender. Each one of us must die to our flesh. Each one of us must be completely obedient to the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, we will be one, and the government can take a hike. It don't matter.
So Denny, Jesus gave us a perfect example when he said to everybody around there, the temple's in me. This temple's going to be torn down, and in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up again. He came. Remember, was it last week we did the teaching on the kingdom? The kingdom of God is within. The kingdom of God is within us, Christians. And so when the government comes along and tries to scare us with the coronavirus, we should rise up with a boldness because why? We're dead already. The kingdom of God is within us. I don't have to go to church. I am the church. But the scriptures tell us that we should forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Even more as we see that day approaching. Jesus never said to go shelter in place. Jesus didn't say anything about social distancing. I'm not making fun of it. I'm showing you the manipulation of man. That's what's going on. That's what we're dealing with here. And
hey, Coach, what was his weapon of choice?
Truth.
Truth, exactly. An armed society is a polite society. The arm is truth. Whether you're using truth or a sword or a 45, the 45 Colt was called the peacemaker because we needed peace, not war.
Amen. So let me, yes.
Hey, I just got a comment about the, people, including a lot of Christians, fearing death. Is it, does Christians really fear death, or is it more just a matter that they fear of how they are going to die?
I suppose there's something to that, Gary. But again, you have no control over that. I have no control over that. I could be zapped. I could drop over tomorrow. I have no control over that. None. So why do we think that we do? Why does the government telling us to shelter in place? Which, okay, we're not going. Okay, I'll shelter in place. Okay, what does that have to do with preventing my death? My life's in the Lord's hands. Come on here, church. Where am I, Jared? Up on the screen. Luke, isn't it Luke that I'm in? Help me out here, brother. Luke 19. I want to take this down to you because I want to show you some stuff here. In fact, who's going to volunteer to read the first three? Let's make this a little bit more audience participation. That'll keep you awake.
Joe Silver,
read the first three. Start with verse 11, Joe. Start with verse 11 and read these first three verses here, Joe. Is Joe in here? I don't even need to check to see if he's in here.
No, he ain't.
Okay. So, Chad, you read it. Go ahead, Chad. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was near to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. The kingdom of God's in, they're looking for a physical kingdom. And he said, okay, boys, let me tell you a story. He said a certain nobleman went into a far country. That would be God, Jesus leaving heaven and going to a far country, coming here to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He called his 10 servants.
10 servants.
And delivered them to 10 pounds and said unto all of us Christians, do me a favor, will you? Will you hang on to this till I get back? Will you occupy till I come? By the way, it's not a question mark. But his citizens hated him. Now, they're comfortable. They don't want to do it. And they sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man reign over us. Oh, boys, are you feeling this? It came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, what? Then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had why he received the kingdom. He called these to him to whom he had given the money that he might know, well, what'd you guys do with that money I gave you guys? And the first guy showed up, says, Lord, that pound that you gave me, I saved 10 souls with that, Lord. He said to him, man, way to go, bud. Because you've been faithful in very little, you're going to have authority over 10 cities. The second guy came and said, Lord, you gave me a pound. I turned it into 5 pounds. I made a difference in 5 people's lives with that, Lord. And he said, wow, good job, man. You're going to be over 5 cities. He came to another and said, Lord, behold, here's your money back, which I kept laid up in a napkin. I hid it, Lord. For I feared, because thou art an austere man, that you takest up that which you layest not down, and that you reapest that which you didn't sow. So I just wanted to just bring back to you what you gave me. Wherefore then gavest not, why then, Jesus said, why did you give not the money unto the bank, where at least I could get interest? He said unto them that stood by, take from him that little bit I gave him, and give it to this dude who was out on the street preaching, put his whole life into the gospel. He says, you take it and give it to him. And they said unto him, Lord, that's not fair. He already has 10 pounds. Jesus said, for I say unto you, you better listen, that unto every one which hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that he has shall be taken from him. Watch this. But those mine enemies, whoa! Jesus had enemies? Huh. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them. So I guess somebody that doesn't let Jesus reign over them is an enemy. Well, that might be a stretch. He said, do me a favor. Those that would not let me reign over them, do me a favor, boys. Go bring them here and slay them before me. Jesus loves everybody, doesn't he? Huh? He loves everybody. And when he had thus spoken, he went up before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethage, and to Bethany, the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 of his disciples ahead of him. And he said to him, hey, boys, do me a favor. He said, go into that village and go to that first farmer's house and knock on the door and tell him that I need his colt. We need his colt. I want it to be one that nobody's ever sat on, and you loose that colt and you bring him to me. And then the disciples said what anybody would say, which I've said a number of times in my life. Any man asks you, why do you loose him? Why do you want him? Just simply say to him, because the Lord hath need of him. The Lord needs him. How many times have you used that line in your life? Why are you gone, coach? The Lord needs me. Why are you going, Randy? Lord needs me. Why are you going, Roger? Lord needs me. Yeah, but what if your wife says don't go? Well, you got yourself a decision to make, don't you? And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto him, why are you doing? What are you doing, boys? What are you doing taking our colt? And they said, well, the Lord needs him. Hey, folks. Lord hath need of you. Lord hath need of you. At this time, in this place, the Lord hath need of you. Are you available? Now, I've used this illustration sometimes. I want to show you this right now. This is important. Anybody know the name of that colt? That donkey? Anybody know him about him? It seems to me he's anonymous here. We don't even know who it is. He's just called a colt. Colt. But I know this. If that colt had not made himself available, Jesus could have never made it into Jerusalem. Because that colt was willing to carry Jesus, we're free today. But what if at the end of this, what happened to the colt? Can you get the picture that they take him by the leash and Jesus is now in the temple and they take the colt and they take him back home to the farmer? Imagine that colt going in there, all the other donkeys around, all the other colts. And he says, dudes, you're not going to believe where I was today. You're not going to believe it. He said, man, they took me out there and they put this guy on top of me. And I rode, I carried him all the way into that temple and people were cheering for me and they were throwing palms out there for me. It's unbelievable. I was the star of the show. Not even realizing that the colt was the star of the show because of who he carried, not because of who he was, because he carried in the Prince of Peace. The colt was be remembered in heaven. So in the time in which where we are here today, in the time in which we live, and the world is in such tumult, simple question for you. Are you willing to be a colt? Are you willing to be that donkey? Will you make yourself available? The Prince of Peace cannot ride in if you don't carry him. If you will not be the donkey. And when you think about donkeys, people laugh at donkeys. Yeehaw! Yeehaw! They're a dumb, stupid animal. Nothing glorious at all about a donkey. And yet, unless that donkey, you willing to be a donkey? Come on in, Jared. Get that other clip ready to go. Somebody, come on in. We got short left here.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Take a look at the screen.
Hang on there, buddy.
There's your fire pit. There's your fire.
I can't find it yet. Let me see it.
Yeah.
We burn a big fire last night. I got to find your Trump. Hang on.
Yeah. Okay, there you go.
Oh, Mark. Hey, listen. Mark Trump is donkey. Mark Trump is donkey. Huh? Right? He's a donkey. Randy, he's a donkey. He's riding your colt. But what was done up there yesterday was absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Somebody come on in here. The Lord's looking for donkeys today.
Great picture, Coach. That's our ministry. We're to be the donkey. We carry Christ everywhere we go. That is the great picture.
Randy, we're not supposed to be hunkering down in the stable. We're not. Now's not the time.
Amen.
To the stable, buddy.
Well, this Amen. Is the thing. The message of the talents here. It just kind of hit me a second ago. Is that? See, are we going to be able to beat gray men? Are we going to be able to kind of stay underneath the radar?
Boy.
Yes. Yeah, you will. Okay, but it's not approved.
No.
That's behavior.
There's no reward to it either. There's no reward.
That's right. And what he's trying to say is, he said, man, I gave you this. You asked for knowledge. I gave it to you. You asked for discernment. I gave it to you. And you kept it to yourself. You didn't go out and share it. Even at risk of persecution.
Looking like a donkey.
If there's nothing ventured, then there's nothing gained.
Yes, because when you go out, you look like a donkey. You're an embarrassment sometimes, right?
That's right. And see, that's, again, like Amber said on there, it's pride. It's our selfishness that we don't want to look bad. It's our perception, the things that we have. It's our flesh. Mm-hmm. To put it down in one term, we are scared of our flesh. Our friends will think of us. People will laugh. They'll to our face, they'll agree, and they're behind their back. They say, that Chad guy, that guy's just an idiot. He's a crazy idiot,
Right.
That's until right. I'm not.
Well, you're not. You never are, right? If you're faithful, you're never an idiot, right? Why do we
Coach, imagine if there was no donkey.
Well, that's what I said, Jack. He'd have found
it. You know, perfect example is you and me, Coach. We're kind of out there. People know our names. We're going to cause trouble. But there's other people that you know and I know who are called the silent assassins or the unnamed accomplice who are ready all the time, on the spot, ready to do something. And they're the ones that cause you and I to get together. They're the ones who put you in Bangor or you in Oklahoma City, right? The ones that are humble and are doing the work.
Look, Jack, you're a donkey. You've always been willing to be a donkey. I'm willing to be a donkey. Hey, listen, those of you who are watching right now, don't watch. They don't let me in pulpits. I'm not allowed to go around and to talk to Christians today about warning them about what's coming and our need and our desire to man up and be men and stand up and fight. Just like we go back to the Revolutionary War days. It was a black robe regiment. It was the pastors who led the charge. And look at where we are and look what's going on and look at the future for our children and our grandchildren as we shelter in place. Are you kidding me, church? Come on. Come on. Jared, pull up that next one. You shall not see me again. So here we are. Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's in the temple. He just read the riot act to the boys. He's in the temple, and they come after him again. They come after him again because he's off healing some blind man. And I want you to watch. Again, ask yourself, do you have an unbalanced vision view of the King of Kings? Do you have an unbalanced view of Jesus, the peacemaker? He is the ultimate. He's the Prince of Peace. Folks, do you help me out here? Do you bring peace without turmoil? Is it possible to bring peace without turmoil? And you look at the American church today, the American church is in peaceful alignment with the government. I'm not a rebel. I'm just open your eyes. The same people that want us to not go to church are the same ones said you can kill babies, that men can marry men. We could go all down through the line. Those same government officials that you're trusting and that you're following and that you're believing, those same people, they're the ones telling you, boy, you better hide from this one. Better hide from this one. So Jesus is in the temple and he's healing a blind man. Jared, go ahead and pray.
But I don't kill babies.
What's that?
But coach, I don't kill babies. I don't do any of those things. I just fund it.
I'm against it, right? I'm against it, actually. Did you ever go to the clinic? No, never been there, right? Really? You ever stand up in your church and try to get a pro-life group going in your church? No, never done that either, but you're against it? You're against it? Oh, well, good. Good. Keep hiding. Keep hunkering down and hiding. So here's Jesus healing a... Do you have a balanced view of Jesus here on Palm Sunday? Did he ride in on a donkey with palms just to make love, not war? Go ahead, Jared.
For a long time, he's never been blind.
And what's your story? That you can give sight to the blind?
I came into this world to give sight to those who cannot see. And to take away sight from those who can.
What do you mean by that? That we who are righteous are blind.
If you were blind, you would be without sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains.
That's true.
This man went through the devil.
He's a cheat.
And Pharisees, hypocrites all, for you set up the kingdom of heaven against men. You do not go in yourselves, nor do you let others enter. Blind guides, you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. You bow before the letter of the law and violate the heart of the law. Justice, mercy, good faith. You are like whited sepulchres, all clean and bare without, but within, full of dead men's bones and all corruption. You see these stones, do you not? I tell you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Yours is a house of desolation, the home of the lizard and the spider. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can any of you escape damnation? You shall not see me here again, not until you learn to cry, blessed
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For I and my Father are one and the same.
He is a blasphemer.
This is the man. Whitehead sepulchres.
You have forsaken the Lord, and now you despise the Holy One of Israel.
You don't speak for the people of Israel. Listen to the teachings of our God.
Remember
straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. Straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. That's where we are today, folks. Where the American church is today.
I like that picture. I like that picture where he's kind of pretty on the wall. And he's got nice clean skin and nice hair, dude. That's the Jesus I want to see. Yeah.
Well, one thing, now it may have just been the depiction of that in the movie, but see, he was boisterous, he was bold, he was speaking with authority. He wasn't saying, "You brothers, you really aren't doing good in here." He wasn't all soft and scared.
No, he wasn't.
Was coming in there, and he was giving it to them. He was looking them in the eye, and he was and he was shouting them down, basically.
Chad, he was doing that to those who had authority over him. Why? Because they had violated their authority. They had begun to teach their own system of religion, and it violated it, right? And so he came to try to erect it. Not only did he come to erect it, he came to destroy it, to destroy that old religious system. And when Jesus, who came and said that he, for this purpose, was a man, Son of Man manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. When he hung on the cross, he said, "It is finished." What was that old religious system of rules and regulations? Not that we don't obey the law, not that we're not law keepers, but when a law violates the law of God, when a man-made law violates the law of God, do you follow the man-made law, or do you permit abortion, or do you oppose abortion? That's really where we are. And so we look around and say the judgment, boy, something's really going on, the judgment of the Lord. We're not streaming, my wife said. The judgment of the Lord. The judgment of the Lord has fallen upon us. Somebody help me wrap it up. Where weren't we streaming, huh?
Well, Coach.
Yeah.
Like with today's modern times, that people didn't get into Jesus' face. They had big crowds. But even in modern times, they're in our faces.
Well, Jeff, we have to also understand this. Jesus didn't go around angry all the time. But when anger is required, he was angry. Why are we so afraid to be angry at the wicked? If we go back to Jared, you don't have to do it because we're about out of time. You go back to Luke 19, it talks about his enemies. His enemies. Didn't it say that? Didn't we see that somewhere? His enemies? Keep going down there. I'm sure I didn't make that up. There it is. There it is. But those mine enemies. Jesus had enemies. Not personal ones. Enemies of the cross. So, folks, as you go about your day here on Palm Sunday, understand that when the peace, Prince of Peace came, he came and he spoke. The disciples said, "You speak as one who has authority." Jesus said, "All power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth." And he said to us, "Here, you take it and you go likewise. You go into all the world." The mess that we see all across the spectrum is because we have been taught the doctrines and commandments of men, and we've made the word of God none effect. God bless you. Thanks for joining us today. Do something great for Jesus this weekend. And, man, stand strong. Stand firm in the faith. Hope to see some of you tomorrow morning. God bless.